As Donald announced earlier this morning, our scripture reading will come from James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
James gives some good instructions here, as we, Alan just read in chapter 1, concerning things that we ought to be doing. And certainly, every one of us has a responsibility to do the things that God asks us to do. Matter of fact, Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven." Throughout the Bible, man has been given various commands. Some are repetitious, some are simultaneous with others, some are separate from other commands, yet God does require that we do things for him and in his presence and before him. And so every one of us has a responsibility. So let us as men do what God would ask us to do. Let us as women do good things that God would have us to do. So there are things that we need to be doing. Sometimes, though, as human beings, it becomes an issue with our life if we decide that we're going to go ahead and do some things maybe that we think are right and maybe God does not allow. And so sometimes we may decide that we're just not going to do something that God's asked us to do because we just say we don't have time to do it or we just don't want to do it. And those are just excuses. They're not reasons. So James says, let every man. So every man is going to be responsible to God. Every person is going to be responsible to God. We talked about this morning in our first lesson the fact that we're all going to stand before Jesus Christ in the day of judgment, 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, and be judged by the things that are written in the Word. So we're going to be judged by the Word of God. Jesus himself is going to be the judge, and I'm going to be held accountable. So what I need to be doing is I need to be letting Charles listen to the Word of God and become obedient and doing what God asked me to do. This morning, let's take a few minutes and look at some of the things that James says to let every man do or let every man be involved in. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27, as I already mentioned, has quite an extensive list of things that will help me and help you as a person. We're going to use the phrase man, let every man, because that's the phrase James uses, but it applies to men and women alike because all are going to be judged. Both men and women are going to be held accountable before God. So let us do the things that God would have us to do. But as a man, as a person, it's important that we are real men, that we're serving God. The Lord's willing, next Sunday morning, I want to talk about real men in Christ, real men in this life. What a real man will be in the sight of God. What a man really is, according to the Bible, and his responsibilities. But this morning, let's talk about let every man. Look, if you will, to verses 19, verse 20, and verse 26 that Alan read. Let every man learn and practice self-control. You know, that's something I had to work on over the years, is to learn self-control. And I still haven't mastered that. As a human being, I would have a tendency perhaps to not have complete control of everything of my mind and my body. And I need to learn and work on that. Everyone needs to work on that. If you, perhaps you may think that you have a problem controlling certain faculties in your life, maybe your thoughts or your words or some actions or whatever, then, or maybe you to control yourself to make yourself go and do the thing you ought to be doing, but you just can't make yourself get up and do it, then let us learn as men serving God to practice self-control. James tells us that that's important. It's not just important, it's essential that we learn self-control. Let's look, he says, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Verse 26, then we see that certainly we go on and read more, and he says there, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his own tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain or useless. So self-control is important. Learning patience is important. Being long-suffering is important. Learning self-control. So we have to learn to think about our thoughts. Now that's maybe repetitious, but our thoughts are what we are, so what are we thinking? We need to think about what we're thinking. Really think about it. Are we thinking bad things that leads to bad actions? Are we thinking on good things? Paul said, if there be any good, if there be anything right, if there be anything just, think on these things. So we need to be thinking on the right things so we can learn self-control. So we're going to go out and involve ourselves in something we shouldn't. And self-control then will come in learning to control our words, control our tongue. It is very hard to control, but we can learn to have control over it. And Acts chapter 24, verse 25, when Paul was before Felix, he reasoned with him about righteousness, temperance, and what? Judgment to come. Temperance, self-control, learning self-control. Am I the type of man that just flies off the handle at any little thing? I've had to work on that over the years. Perhaps you have. But let us learn self-control. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. You know, the fruit of the Spirit brings about long-suffering and meekness and self-control. So if we follow God's way and His will and we believe Him and we add the fruit of the Spirit to our life, we're going to be people who learn self-control. Over in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32, the wise man talked about the man who needs to think about his life and control his own thoughts and his action. And so this morning, let us as men, according to the Word of God, be men who will learn and practice self-control. It's hard to learn to practice something we have not learned. So how do we learn it? We learn it from reading the Word of God. We receive knowledge from the Word of God. We receive wisdom from God. We learn self-control from the experiences of life, from looking at other people, their mistakes, or their good things. We also learn it in our own life and realize our own weaknesses so we can overcome them. And so learning self-control, learn self-control and then do what? Practice it, he says. Let's go back again. He says there in James chapter 1 in verse 21, let every man lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Well, if we can learn self-control, we can learn to keep filthiness out of our life. Filthy words, filthy actions, filthy communications, filthy involvement in things that are basically filthy or wrong or evil or not right in the sight of both man and God. So let us lay aside. Let every man lay aside. So God lets us know that it is possible to program our minds and let it be led by the Word of God to the point that we are able to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of weaknesses. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. So, putting aside these things. I've heard people make statements over the years about someone to make a statement, well, he's a filthy old man. He's a dirty old man. And they didn't mean that he's physically dirty, his clothes is dirty. They meant that his thoughts are filthy. He's thinking things and he's saying things and he's acting in a way that's filthy, not right. is not clean, but he's filthy. His life is clean. His conscience is not good. His actions are not right. So learning to put away those things. When you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 and chapter 5 and verse 22, Paul said, be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Keep yourself pure. So it was important for the young preacher Timothy to put away any kind of filthiness that might come his way, to get over it, get past it, and lay it aside and do what? Live in good conduct. Live in purity. Keep yourself pure. We mentioned this briefly in our lesson this morning in the 9 o'clock hour, but Philippians 4 verse 8 says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good to report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. So there's a very big contrast, a big difference between being filthy-minded and having filthy actions and having pure thoughts, having lovely thoughts, having good thoughts, and practicing on things that are of good virtue and that are praiseworthy. We need to work on that as men. Let every man lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. James 1, verse 21, let every man receive with meekness the implanted word. We talked about two points already that we need to be following there. Let every man learn and practice self-control. Let every man lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. How do we do that? Well, James says, let every man receive with meekness the implanted word. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharp. It will cut us. It will prick us. It will move us. It will guide us. The word of God is how we learn how to do all these things. So every man, let every man receive with what? Meekness, the implanted word. We humble ourselves before God and we take the word as it is. It is the word of God, a higher power, our creator, the one that we look to for breath and life and all the blessings, the one through whom all blessings flow for us. We need to look to him. So let us receive with meekness the implanted word. The word of God is to be implanted in us. Receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted word, which is able to save your souls. We know that. The word of God saves. Romans 1:16, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we're saved through obedience to the word through the blood of Christ. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Where Paul says, and you became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit. And James said, receive with meekness the engrafted word was able to save your souls. And he tells the brethren at Thessalonica, you became followers of us and the Lord. Why? What have they done? Having received the word in much affliction. So let's point out, it may not always be easy to receive the word of God into our heart and make application to it and obey it because of people around us who are putting pressure on us. It may not always be easy because of situations of life that come up. But it can be done. God didn't say it's all going to be easy, did he? He didn't say it's all going to be a super highway paved with no bumps. We got to realize, I've got to realize, you need to realize, we all need to realize that if I'm going through something, somebody else has probably already been through it, maybe a lot more times I have. And if anything, the Lord went through it. So I'm without excuse. Old man, like he told the Jews, you don't have no excuse, old man. But we don't have an excuse. We don't have an excuse. We may think we do, but we don't have a real reason not to receive with meekness the implanted word, because it's there for us. It's free. It is there for the taking. He goes on and says, you have received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became example to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of God has sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Not only had those at Macedonia received the implanted word, they had received it and become followers in obedience to it, and they had set a good example to others around and were helping others because they had received the word and obeyed it. Acts chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also works effectively in you who believe." So the word of God is very important. We've already studied Matthew 13 in Adam's class, and we know that the word of God, we need to become hearers and then become doers of the word. Let the word of God receive it into a good and honest heart, that it may take root, that it may grow, that we may be faithful to God. We don't need to harden our hearts and let it be on a rock and just sun melted away. We don't let the word come to us and then it gets entangled with the things of the world, the sidesteps of life, and brings us over in it too. We don't need to do that. We need to receive the engrafted word with meekness that we may save our souls. Acts 2, 36 through 42, those people who heard the word of God, we're going back to verse 14 and going through verse 36, they heard the word of God from Peter, and they received the word and let it become implanted in them. They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And he said, "You need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And then look at verse 41. "And they that gladly received the word were what? Baptized that day." And you go on, you see that then through their activity, they received the word, they were baptized, the Lord added them to the church. They continued that. What did they do because they were receiving the word? They received the word and they continued to receive it. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. So we receive the word, not a one-time thing, but we receive it, we believe it, by faith we obey it, we're baptized into Christ, and then what do? We keep receiving the word every day and we keep seeking it. Peter tells us that desire the sincere milk of the word, as newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. How important is the implanted word? We need to receive it, we need to seek it, we need to desire it, and we must obey it. Back to Matthew 7, verse 21. "Now everyone said to me, Lord, Lord, shall we enter the kingdom of heaven, that he that doeth the will of the Father in heaven." And we can't do that without receiving the word of God that's quick and powerful, that saves us when we obey it through the blood of Christ. James chapter 1 and verse 21 again. "Let every man lay aside all filthiness." Oh, we did that one. We're going the wrong way, Charles. Let's go to this one. Verse 25. "Let every man be doers of the work and not hearers only." When we have the word of God and we see it, let's read that verse. Verse 25 of James chapter 1. "But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." When we hear the word of God, we find out what work it is he requires us to do. And we're to be a doer of the work of God by being obedient to the word that instructs us in what work we ought to be doing. And so, the word of God. John chapter 13, the Gospel of John chapter 13, verse 17. He says, "If you know these things, you are blessed if what? If you do them." So we pause just a minute before we go to our last couple of points in this lesson. And that is that if you talk to people today, sometimes maybe a neighbor or someone is out in society or in business or at work, and a lot of people, they really don't see the need to be working and obeying the Word of God. They don't really see the need to hear the Word of God. They think that they can become a standard unto themselves and do what they want to do and involve themselves in the things they want to be involved in. Well, when that happens, people are done wrong, society corrupts, marriages fail, businesses become evil, and men in general are not what they ought to be because they're not doers of the work of God. We need to hear the word of God, receive with meekness that will save our soul, and then what? Be a doer of the work of God. God gives us work to do. We sing that song sometimes, "Work till the night is coming. Work till the while the sun shines. Because when the night comes, no man can work. We need to labor while we're alive, while we're here, serving faithfully. Because one day we're going to get to the point that physically or mentally or time on earth will end, we won't be able to do it here anymore. Do it now so we can hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Verse 27 talks about, "Let every man do good unto others." Verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled in the sight of our God and our Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress. So when we think about doing good, it's more than just being about me. It's more than just being about you. It involves others also. Doing good unto others. Ephesians 4, verse 28. Paul said, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." So we can be good people. We can serve God. But in serving God, it involves doing good to others. The second and great commandment is likened to this, that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus taught that. And then we go to Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10, and we see that after Paul talked about doing good and helping a brother that's in fault and helping him be restored and considering our own self, "Let us therefore do good to everyone, especially to those of the household of faith." Doing good to others. So it may be that one hears the word of God and they believe it and they're baptized, but over time they just can't get past the me part of it. Someone needs help spiritually, but they just can't find the time or the willpower to help that person spiritually, to build them up. Or maybe someone needs something physically and mentally. Maybe they just need a shoulder to cry on, or a sounding board to talk to, and we don't have time for it. We need to learn to take the time for other people. Have we ever gotten to the point in our life sometimes that we were really tired because you worked yourself down trying to help other people? Not because we necessarily went out and stuck our nose in someone's business, but because others needed help. They just needed to talk. Or they needed a hands up. Or they needed something. And maybe it was physical, maybe it was mental, maybe it was spiritual. But it may be our children. It may be our wife. It may be your husband. It may be our neighbor. Let every man do what? Do good to others. To others. And so, even in the workplace, sometimes it may be hard to be good to others. And some people may not let us help them. But we can at least be good to them and be fair and be reasonable with them so that we do the right thing, serving God, doing good. Doing good is important. Well, verse 27, he says this: let every man keep unspotted from the world. We've already talked about several things that leads up to this. The world is out there, folks, and you know it. It's not the trees and the grass and the sunshine, the rain, the rocks and the sand. He's talking about worldliness. Things of the world, not necessarily the earth, but world, things that are separate from God, things that are not of God, in keeping with the will of God, is what he's saying. Let every man keep unspotted from the world. The world, the majority are going to go down the broad way through the wide gate that leads to destruction, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. The majority are going to choose that way instead of the straight and narrow way that leads to life. So what's going to be my choice? James says, let every man keep himself unspotted from the world. So we can't say that we're serving Christ and go down that broad way that everyone else is going down, living in sin, and expect to please God. We've got to stay away from that way and go the straight and narrow way, the way the Word says go. And 1 Timothy 6 and verse 14, keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appears. Keep the commandments of God. obey the Word of God. We can keep ourselves clean by obeying the Word of God. And that means, certainly it doesn't mean we're ever going to be perfect or sinless. But it means that as we go along and we go through life, if we make a mistake, we're going to acknowledge it. We're going to ask for forgiveness. We're going to get the forgiveness, and we're going to move forward and try our best not to make that mistake again. And over time, we probably won't make that mistake very many more times. And it should be made less and less because the engrafted Word is living in us. What's our excuse for being like the world? Well, there's really no reason. We just make excuses sometimes. 2 Peter 3, verse 14, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And the familiar passage, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed in the newness of your mind. And we're warned that the things of the world are going to vanish away. They're going to be, this world and the works in it are going to pass away. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. So what's James telling us that every man needs to be involved in? Well, there's some good lessons for me, and I hope that you'll take your scriptures and apply them properly in your own life, because that's your duty and my duty. You can help me with mine by being a good example. You can help me if you see me in weakness. Tell me what I'm doing wrong and help me overcome it. You can help me by encouraging me. You can help me by disciplining me if I'm doing something wrong to keep me in the straight and narrow. But let every man learn and practice self-control. My friend, does the world need this today? If you don't believe the world doesn't need this, then you need to turn on your TV and you need to look around the next time you're out in society. Let every man lay aside filthiness and wickedness. Do you think the world needs that instruction? If you don't think so, then open your eyes and look around the next time you're out and about, and listen and see. Let every man receive with meekness the implanted Word. The Word of God is so important. It's alive. It will work in the hearts of men. That's what the world needs now. We talk about our problems. We hear about our problems in our nation and around the world and in families and in society and at the workplace and between people. We talk about those problems. The solution is receiving with meekness the Word of God and let it work. What if just 75% of the people would do that? That'd leave 25% that wouldn't. It'd be a lot better than it is now. Well, let every man be doers of the work and not hearers only. We need to get up and put our boots on and get to work, doing God's will. I can't sit back and let someone else do it for me. I have a responsibility to do it because God said. And then I need to do good to others and keep myself unspotted from the world. Hope the lesson this morning will help us to examine our life. You examine your life as I must examine mine, because you must stand before God and I must stand before God in the day of judgment. And so we certainly want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant.